Hey, Drew.
Hello, John.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby and talk about movie theaters.
I'm Drew.
And I'm John.
And you're listening to The Hourchive.
Our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
What?
That was my attempt at like a film projector starting up. Okay. This started out as a very
lost. This is almost like a lost episode.
A lost episode, yeah.
We did an episode and didn't record it.
A very heated discussion
it
between the
be
two of us.
It won't be heated this time.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah. I got that out of my system.
Who says I got it out of my system?
Oh, well, my opinions have changed to a certain degree, but maybe we might get a little angry at each other if you continue to make statements that are stupid.
I am prone.
Yeah.
I am quite prone to doing that.
We're talking about movie theaters and, the experience of going to the movies. And what are the best kinds of movie theaters, right? Mm-hmm. We got a good selection. We have a good variety here in the St. Louis area.
Yeah, we do.
Do you got any information on maybe the history of movie theaters?
Well, originally movie theaters were owned by the studios themselves.
Huh.
I don't think it started out that way.
Makes sense, though.
I think that the widespread adoption of movie theaters, was much like taverns were owned by brewers.
Right.
Theaters. Studios would produce movies, and then they owned venues in different cities, and they would play their own movies there.
Makes sense.
It does make sense. And I guess it made enough sense that it was making them gobs of money, and the government was like, wait a minute.
Hang on.
Hold on a second here.
Knock it off.
Yeah, this isn't quite right. So that ended up getting broken up. But before that, I guess arguably, when you think about the history of movie theaters, the golden age of movie theaters was probably like the 20s. Which is when most of the palatial movie theaters were built, sort of your classic movie theater. And most of those styles, that style of theater, even if they're still around, most of them are not showing movies anymore because that's not how we go see movies anymore.
Yeah.
But we have one in town called The Fox.
Yeah.
That was originally a movie theater owned by Fox Studios. It's now no longer a movie theater, but it was. There's maybe one or two, I think, in Hollywood that are still of that era that still show movies.
Man's Chinese Theater?
That was actually later, I think. That was maybe more like the 40s.
Oh.
No, it couldn't have been. It had to be earlier than that. Yeah. So that's a good one. The Egyptian Theater there. The El Capitan Theater in Hollywood. Okay, so maybe there's a few, but Hollywood's an exception.
LA
is totally an exception. So that was probably the golden era of movie theaters.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is where you have a thousand seats in the theater.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it was more of a high end thing to do.
Kinda, but sorta not. It had that sheen to it, but movies for a long time were, according to my history classes and such, they were sort of the poor man's entertainment.
Oh.
For a long time. Like that was the live theater was, you know, or opera, that was your high class entertainment, and movies were for the proletariat.
What did they say? Let's go to the nickel show. There's some phrase. Costs a nickel.
The Nickelodeon?
No. I mean, I know that's a thing, but...
Yeah. They were cheap.
They were cheap.
They were affordable. They saw us through the Depression because people could forget about their troubles for a while.
They didn't
see
us through the Depression.
No.
We weren't there. But our people.
Our peeps, yeah. I just said that.
Yeah, you did.
When
did the theater, movie theater, start to become what we know of today? Is it a gradual thing? Or do you think...
I think it's sort of an up and down kind of thing. I think it was so like you, if you say the 20s is like the golden age and then the 30s, that's, I think right around the late 20s or early 30s is when they broke up that studio monopoly thing. So, and coincidentally, that was also when you're like leading into the war, World War II. And at that point, like production was sort of reduced.
Yeah.
Entertainment across the board was kind of cut for the war. But then things bounce back after the war.
Mm-hmm.
But then they decline again because TV comes in and screws everything up, and suddenly nobody's going to see movies again. So like this is a very cyclical pattern.
But then
they tried a couple
blockbusters like, start showing up.
Gimmicks. They would do like 3D and stuff like that. And then they would do CinemaScope, which is the 50s is when... I guess the differentiation between...
Now, hang on.
What?
You went to the 60s, now we're back in the 50s.
I haven't gone to the 60s yet.
You said in the 60s it got screwed up because of TV.
I said in the 50s it got screwed up because of TV.
I thought you said 60s.
I was right and you were wrong. 50s, theaters to compete with TV started putting in larger screens, wider screens, changing the dimensions of the screen.
Okay.
So that's sort of like a dividing line. They're drawing like, a line in the sand, and they're saying like, "Hey, check out that tiny TV screen.
Yeah,
it's a
dumb.
Square. Yeah, it's stupid. Come to the theater and see. Come to the theater, dummy. Don't be so dumb.
Come on down. Don't be an idiot."
Yeah. So gimmicks, lots of different things to draw people in. So I would pin it like somewhere in the 50s is when the movie theater sort of, that's where what we consider the theater experience began.
Okay.
But then it died down again in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly I think in that case it was because of the more of the cultural shifts, you know.
A lot went on.
Right, yeah. And movies had a hard time catching up. Like,
well, we talked about this.
Yeah.
In the Blockbusters episode.
Yes, yeah.
This was a time when movies were not exemplifying life as people knew it.
Yes.
It was an ideal.
It didn't ring true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until the summer blockbusters came around, or rather, Jaws in particular, right? Mm-hmm. It was kind of the herald of a new type of movie that was sort of real, felt like it was true.
I would argue that it probably actually was before that. I would say more like the late 60s and early 70s.
Fine.
But Jaws...
I mean, you said another thing in the older episodes, but...
No. I think Jaws was a different thing. The spectacle... I would put Jaws more on par with like the gimmicky side of the history.
Okay.
But I think realism came in with like The Godfather and Easy Rider and all of those movies. When people started seeing elements of real life in movies, that legitimized movies again.
Yeah.
But the theater going experience, I think, I don't know that it's ever gotten back to where it once was when everybody went to a movie theater. Like, I that's why I sort of pinpoint the 20s and 30s as like the golden age, because that was what everybody did. Because you didn't have as much to do.
Right.
And you could only see movies that way.
And nowadays, home theaters are comparable.
Right. At least in terms of the delivery mechanism.
The quality
of
video and sound are comparable.
Yes.
Can be, given the right amount of money or setup. And if it is not comparable, that is offset by the comfort and safety of one's
home. And expense,
home. Too. Yeah. You know, what you may not get out of that, you know, what you may be missing by not going to the theater, you make up for by not spending a stupid amount of money.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You know.
Well, yeah. It's like they're inverted trajectories or whatever. So like, the theater experience has gotten more expensive.
Right.
Incrementally over time.
Yeah.
Whereas the expense of watching a movie at home on a similar caliber of picture, sound, whatever, has gotten lower. So like, equipment might still cost a lot. Like, you're going to pay a lot for a really nice TV.
Yeah.
But the cost of acquiring a movie has gone down considerably.
Plus, the access to that quality is more prevalent.
Yeah.
It's
more choices.
It's interesting because the quality of the movie theater is plateauing. It's getting to the point where they can't seem to get much better in fidelity.
Right.
So they're trying other stuff, which we can kind of get into in a second. Whereas the home theater is still
rising.
Rising. And the cost of going to see a movie is disproportionate to the quality.
Yeah.
Whereas it almost feels like you're getting away with murder with your home theater. You know, if you have a good setup, I mean.
Yeah.
And it's you know, it stands up. It's as good as going to the theater.
Yeah, well, it's I think the delivery element is what you're getting a better value on at home now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And arguably,
convenience and ease.
Depending on your perspective, the experience itself could be better. If you are, and this is where I think we'll maybe start getting into this potentially controversial territory, contentious territory. Uh-huh. If you are a person who just wants to witness and hear the movie without any interruption, or you want to see it on very specific terms, like you don't want to miss anything, you don't want to run the risk of having to go to the bathroom and miss something. Like if that is the core of your movie experience, it's the movie itself, and you viewing it on very specific terms, then by no question is the home experience a better value for you than going to the theater.
Depending on those terms.
Right.
On the terms by which that you have set for watching a movie.
Right.
There are certain things you cannot achieve at home.
Quality-wise, you're saying.
And experience-wise.
Right. Definitely experience-wise, but you're also arguing quality.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And at this point, to be honest, the biggest disparity, I would say, between home theater and movie theater is in the size of the screen.
In most cases, yeah.
I mean, if money is no object, well, it's none of you. Well, that's no. If money's no object, you can get your own movie theater. Right?
Yeah.
for a middle class person,
mm-hmm.
the only thing that is not comparable is the size of the monitor.
And I think those lines are blurring, though.
Yes.
More so now than they have before. I think there are options that are available now that approximate very closely
to get close
the size of a theater screen.
At least the experience.
Yeah.
You know, because to have, let's say you could somehow afford and accomplish a full-size theater screen in mm-hmm. your home, it wouldn't make sense.
Right.
You know, like, you wouldn't really want it. Once you had it, you'd be like, I don't know why I have this. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
There's a maximum size to where you're like, good. This is good for a house.
Right, yeah.
Like, this will do, you know, for me, for one person sitting to watch this movie, or me and my family.
For the distance
from
the screen, this is appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, so, like, we're close, you mm-hmm. know, to become an affordable thing for someone living on average means, yeah. right? And sound system-wise, you totally can attain movie theater quality, yeah. if not better. So that's taken care of. And it is only, the only other disparity is that right now, and this is probably going to change anyway, you can't get the movies first run. You have to wait for them to come out.
Right. Content.
But that will most likely change in the near future.
Probably.
That will, like, waiting for a movie theater or like studios only distributing first run to movie theaters mm-hmm. is going to become a thing of the past.
It already has in some circles.
Yeah.
Like, there are movies that you can get on demand now
yeah.
before they have a theatrical release.
Certain filmmakers are taking it upon themselves mm-hmm. to distribute their films simultaneously in theaters as well as online. And I think in some cases online first.
Yeah. There have been movies that I've seen.
And that will become the norm.
Yeah.
If not the standard. That's the same thing. Norm and standard.
Well, Saturday night at 8 o'clock, I know where I'm gonna go. I'm gonna pick my baby up and take her to the picture show. Everybody in the neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies, who cares what picture you see? When you're hugging with your baby, last row in the balcony.
How about this? Here's a thought that I had while we were discussing this. And maybe we're jumping the gun a little bit, but when you look at it in those terms, you think like, man, this is such like an archaic thing to, mm-hmm. you know, you have the option of choice and on demand scheduling, you mm-hmm. know, you can control the delivery of the movie at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it when you think about the idea that the trade-off of that is paying money to have less control of what you are experiencing,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
you think like, gosh, that really does sound so bass-ackwards
yeah.
you know, to do that. So my question is then, do you see just the end of the movie theater experience as we know it, or do you see that level of control being somehow extended to the theater going experience? Like, can you see a point where people go into a random theater and elect, you know, like you go into a theater at 2 o'clock and there's nothing set to screen at that time, mm-hmm. but you know, you pull something up on your phone and you'd be like, okay, I want to watch this movie. And you have a menu of movies that you can choose from or something.
If this all hinges on how smart theater owners are.
Mm.
Because right now they're as I understand it, fighting the natural progression of things, mm-hmm. you know.
Holding on to the old model. The
prices are outrageous. I mean, they make no money off of the movie itself, right. you know, at this point.
Yeah, and I think it's worth pointing out, too, that the reason the prices are outrageous are not necessarily because of the theaters themselves.
No, because
of the price.
Yeah.
In order to stay in business, in order to stay competitive, they have to charge enough to make up in like concessions and everything else.
Yeah.
What they are losing on the admission price, because they're not making any money off of that. That's going back to the studio.
They have done, you know, movie theaters. It's kind of sad because with few exceptions, you know, they've done little to put themselves into this position. It's simply a result of the way technology has evolved and the way we as a society have come to consume this kind of media, you know, and the generation coming up is going to be less interested, I think, in a movie theater experience unless they get creative beyond seats that move, you know, like they need to figure out a reason for people to come to those theaters, because the reason will no longer be that it's the best quality or the best way to view the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get it at that at home. The reason will also no longer be you can't see it anywhere else, you know, mm-hmm. because that will be available at home. And so they need to figure out a way that they can draw people in creatively. Maybe that is something like come in and pick a movie.
Choose your own movie.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, the thing that I think works well, and this might be kind of a niche thing, but running old movies, you know, mm-hmm. that a lot of theaters do now is they have these sort of events where they'll mm-hmm. show an old movie that, you know, is a cult classic or, you know, has mm-hmm. just a huge following and
playing off of nostalgia.
Yeah.
Which in a way I kind of feel like that's still sort of on the side of relying on an older audience.
It is.
And
I think that in the future there will always be, you know, in big cities and stuff, one or two theaters mm-hmm. that, you know, are show movies on film and mm-hmm. and, you know, just for the nostalgia factor of it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, go see a movie. It'll be
right.
similar to like, I don't know. It's like a drive-in theater is now.
Right.
You know, people don't really prefer that mode, but it's fun to do.
Right. The novelty of it will persist.
But they have to get creative because and I don't know what they do, you know. Mm-hmm. And they are, you know, they are starting to, they're kind of playing around with stuff, you know. Theaters are starting to show productions of plays.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a few companies out there who put together sort of interesting events like live simulcast stuff. Mm-hmm. Like This American Life did a thing, mm-hmm. has done it, I think, twice now, where they do a live show and they broadcast it through movie
theaters.
It's
projected in a theater. Yeah.
The guys who do Riff Tracks have also done that, you know. So there's definitely some things going on, but it's not something that will sustain the movie theater.
As we know it. Yeah.
As we know it.
I feel like they have a built-in audience, though.
Yeah.
Well, provided this audience remains in the same dynamic as it has always been, and that is teenagers or kids who don't want to be at home.
Who want to get away.
They just don't. They want to be anywhere but at home.
Yeah.
And I think the movie theater has always been a welcoming refuge for that audience.
Yeah, good point.
And I can't think of any place. You know, I can't think of anything else that has come up recently that could replace the movie theater in that regard. I think what the difference is, the threat to that concept is that if families become less, if houses get bigger, mm-hmm. you know, and people no longer feel quite as claustrophobic right. as kids, you know, like to the point where their parents leave them alone enough that, man, this sounds terrible, but I'm like, I'm basically arguing in favor of parents hounding their children enough that those kids are then given yeah. an impetus to get out of the house and yep. sustain the movie theater. And this is all for my own personal benefit, hey. Really. I want movie theaters yeah, to stick around yeah. and I want them to be a haven for teenagers, yeah. you know. But like, you know, if families don't feel that kind of claustrophobia, if kids don't feel that driving urge to just get out of the house,
yeah,
that I mean, like, I viscerally remember that experience, yeah. but I don't necessarily see that same level of motivation in some of like my nieces and nephews. Well, so
it's funny because let's look at a few other institutions that were havens for teenagers that mm-hmm. are gone. The mall.
Yeah.
They didn't sustain the malls. Right?
Yeah.
Arcades. And arcades suffered a similar fate as movie theaters.
Yeah.
In which the home system became better.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you and I have a nostalgic love for an arcade, but beyond sort of a passing, like, oh, that's a neat old thing. Younger kids aren't going to have that, right. you know. So that institution is gone and most likely not really coming back mm-hmm. in the way that we know it, you know. And then malls, you know, that was a huge respite for teenagers.
Yeah.
And they're gone, you know. For the most part, the mall does not exist.
Yeah.
In the way that it did, and I'm wondering, where are those teenagers now?
Yeah.
Where are they going?
Where are you?
Where are you? If you're a teenager, tell us where you're going.
Yeah, where are you hanging out right now?
It must be the theaters.
I guess.
I mean, maybe the theater sticks around because it's the only place left.
Yeah.
For the teenager. You know, but I hadn't thought about that demographic in that way, you know? Mm-hmm. Because they're coming up in a world where they can get everything on demand, you mm-hmm. know, and they're happy to do so. I hate watching things on my phone.
Right.
But
yeah, most the younger you go, the more
they're fine with it.
Amenable people are to that.
Yeah. yeah. And it won't be on the phone, you know, it'll be on every device.
Yeah.
It'll be on whatever resolution you want to watch it. But yeah, I think always kids will want to get away from their parents. And yeah. it's a question of will the theater be there for them, right? They'll always find somewhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
But if the theater makes itself, you know, if it's something that what is the word I'm looking for? They make themselves appealing. Jeez. If theaters can make themselves appealing teenagers, then maybe they stick around.
Continue to, yeah.
Mr. Projectionist, stop the show. Here's great news you ought to know. We've just got a shipment of Taste Thrill treats, all tip-top quality and delicious eats. There are hot dogs and popcorn and candy galore. There's soft drinks and coffee and a whole lot more. So direct your steps to our refreshment stand to enjoy the finest snacks in all the land.
But the other thing I was thinking about too, and it again, I feel like I'm arguing against myself now. Like, you're saying, you know, like if a movie theater can make itself appealing to a teenager,
yeah.
you know, that the teenager will sustain it. But everybody else who goes to a movie theater wants the theater to make it inhospitable to a teenager, you know?
Yeah.
And for the most part, I think the theaters are going that way. You know, they're siding with that other perspective of, you know, like keeping a very hard line on, like, you know, no cell phone usage and, you know, don't talk during the movie or you're going to get kicked out. And if anything, it's gotten more aggressive over the years, the last couple of years in combating that. and that seems to be winning out. So you get like I can't remember seeing so many kids get kicked out of movies as I do now. If I'm in an appropriate venue, one that seems to cater to teenagers, you know, or where there just happen to be a lot of teenagers around, mm-hmm. more than adults, almost every movie there is some incident where a teenager is either told to shut up or turn off his phone or get out.
Yeah. You know?
And that never used to happen 15 years ago.
Yeah.
10 years ago, you know.
It's funny. I didn't think about that. The theater is siding with the wrong people. I mean, if they want to do well, I hate cell phone use during movies.
Yeah.
And they are totally on my side.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. But I'm not going to pay their bills.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I love going to the theater, like, I'm not the majority demographic, especially coming up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if I'm a theater owner, it's almost like you got to start saying, oh, it's encouraged.
Well, and which in some cases they have, like some theaters will do that now where they have special screenings that are, you know, text authorized.
Oh, it just makes me sick.
It does. It's so, but again, it's like,
it's what it will be.
Right. And again, it's, I think a lot of it is the carryover too of, you know, what you're comfortable doing at home.
Yeah.
You know, it arguably it's all sort of interwoven because as you have more choices at home.
Yeah.
So like you're not dependent upon watching this movie when it's playing, right?
Yeah.
So it becomes less important, you know? It's sort of negligible. And so you can do all these other things. You can text, you can, you know, email somebody, you can work on homework or whatever.
Yeah.
So the concept of a movie is then devalued, right?
Yeah.
You know? It's not as important to pay attention to it.
Unless you yourself make the concerted effort.
Right.
Unless you say, I'm going to give this movie my full attention.
Right.
And not stop it or pause it or what have you for you know, whatever happens. But I just don't. I don't get it. I don't get the blatant disregard for that and it's, I guess it's just, you know, you come up, we grew up going to movies and you watch the movie and
right.
And I guess that's not really how a lot of kids are growing up now. They're growing up doing 100 things at once.
I guess. Man, we sound old.
I know, but it's interesting. It's really fascinating, you know? I didn't think about how badly theaters seem to be bungling.
Yeah.
They should be.
Well, yeah, they're catering to the older audience.
Yeah. You
know? They're catering to the audience that's not sticking around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny, like,
but they walk a fine line there too, because they don't, if they don't make those steps, if they do not show that they are willing to side with that other audience,
yeah,
you know, they know that older adult can turn them off on a dime.
Yeah.
You know,
like happily.
they are so close to losing that audience.
They
and
are.
if they just do one misstep. And I mean, I'm guilty of this because I have sworn off of theaters completely because of, you know, a couple of bad experiences and they were even on my side, but you know, because it was just the dynamics of it, you know, I'm now sort of writing those theaters off. It's so easy for me as an adult to do that now. I don't need the theater to be a place where I can go and get away from, you know, home or parents or whatever. So,
you know, the theaters,
man, they are trapped.
Need to just tell us to F off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here's the thing we have to do. You and I have to do this. Okay. And we are representatives of a larger contingent.
Okay. We're the ambassadors for,
we have to accept that if movie theaters are to continue to exist in any form, we are not the ones going to them, and they are not for us. Right? Except for a few here. Like, like I said, there will always be theaters that are like old style for nostalgic sake, but there will come a time when texting and phone use, device use, whatever, will be not only allowed but encouraged, if not a part of the viewing experience. All you know, like something flashes on the screen and you text the message and you get a secret scene. I don't know, but that's got to happen for movie theaters to be sustainable as time goes on.
I think something has to happen. Yeah.
But
I don't know that that's...
I don't think we'll like it.
I just had a thought as you're saying that. And I think my problem with the way that these scenarios like clash now, it's one model of viewing and one against one that is... like some kid using his phone in front of me in a theater is such a bastardization of the other experience, which is me watching the movie and having no distractions, right? It's such a confrontational dynamic there that's where I think the problem is coming in. But if you change that up a bit in such a way that you encourage collaboration or community, you know, where you make it more like a home experience where, you know, you don't mind if, well, I don't mind if somebody at the other end of the couch is talking during the movie and, or, you know, you're sharing trivia about the movie or something, right? If there's a way to do that but make it a public thing, right? And I'm picturing like, you know, I'm almost picturing like a cafe or something where movies are shown first run. This is a movie theater. It's a theater or a movie auditorium, right? But it's more like a classroom or something where you have people sitting at desks or at couches or something and talking back and forth and sharing stuff. If you embrace that idea to the point that it is no longer the theater experience that we know, then I think maybe it could work. I think if you try to allow one model and another model to coexist side by side, then it's not going to work.
It's also a matter of expectation, I think, you know.
Yeah.
If you go to a movie expecting one format and that is interrupted or challenged, that's frustrating, you know. Yeah. But if you're, let's say you go to a movie and you know that this theater allows texting or whatever, you know, or talking, or, you know, it's just like, do what you want in the theater.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you at least know, you're going there with the knowledge of what is going to occur. What is frustrating is when you go there thinking that everyone's on the same page of, we're all going to sit and watch this movie and we're not going to interrupt or cause distraction.
Right.
And then somebody does, you're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
We all agreed.
We were on the same page, yeah.
You know.
Who turned the page?
Yeah. So I think it's a combination of what you're talking about, where the assumed experience needs to shift to replicate an at-home experience if it's going to continue, as well as, you know, setting expectations appropriately for whatever situation that theater is presenting, you know, because it's just a matter of knowing what you're getting into.
Yeah.
And if you think you're
getting... Nobody wants to be surprised in a movie.
Yeah.
Maybe surprised by the movie, that's fine.
Yeah.
But in a movie, you don't want to be surprised. Yeah.
So we... Okay. So that's our dissertation on
we're
going.
We labored that for a long time.
theater isn't dead yet.
Yeah.
And like we said, there's lots of different kinds of theaters around here. Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked quite heatedly about preferred experiences. What?
I was going to say, do you remember what sparked that initial discussion?
I think we talked about doing an episode about it. Like we said, we should do an episode of movie theaters, and uh-huh. then we kind of talked about it, and then we could not contain ourselves, and it became loud.
Yeah.
Well, and it was sort of due to some confusion on both of our parts as to what the other meant.
Right. Going back to like the experience.
Right.
What does the movie going experience? What does that definition entail?
And I've when we originally talked, what I wanted out of a movie going experience was highest quality sound and picture, uninterrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Stadium seating. I think those are my criteria.
Uh-huh.
You wanted like decrepit buildings, poor view of the screen. Right.
Right. Well, yeah, I want
the building falling down around me. I want dead teenagers making out on the floor at my feet.
I think that was sort of how you cast it. Yeah. What the difference was in our understandings was that you were looking at the movie going experience as you and the movie. And everything else is just a means to that end.
Yeah.
Right? And I was looking at the movie-going experience from a comprehensive standpoint.
Right, from the moment you step into the theater, right?
For even before that. From like the experience of going to the theater.
Yeah.
And every step of that progression there. From vehicle or mode of transportation to the door.
Right.
Buying the ticket, inside the door, what happens in the lobby.
As archaic as it can get.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they got gas lamps instead of electricity, you know, they've made a customer for life.
I do cast favor upon
crapulence. Sorry.
I like things that have been there for a long time.
Yeah.
That's especially with regard to movies. I find a very particular type of theater appeals to me more than other newer theaters.
I get it, you know, and I gave you a hard time in the discussion because I was riled up. You know, and I often find myself defending things that I don't know why I'm defending them later. But, you know, I have since that discussion, I think, come around to a different way of thinking. You know, I still do want, I don't need the highest quality.
Mm-hmm.
But I need, it can't be crap.
They got to be trying.
I cannot abide a bad sound. So like, I want to be in a theater, you know. Here's the thing. If my home system is better than the theater's system, I'm really not happy.
All right, let me throw something out there for it regarding that. So... if you're watching a movie, right?
Where?
In a theater.
Okay.
And the film, because it's still being projected on film, snaps.
Okay.
Or something, and goes off the reel for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so for like 30 seconds, mm-hmm. not even 30 seconds, let's say 5 seconds.
Okay.
The movie is interrupted by some sort of technological blip.
Yeah.
Right? And then it starts up again.
Yeah.
You would consider that a very problematic incident.
Not necessarily. If they got it back going, that's not a problem. And in fact, I've had more trouble with digital projection than I have ever had with film. I saw when I went to see the third Pirates of the Caribbean movie, the movie stopped and never started.
Well,
again.
That was the best thing that could have ever happened in that scenario.
So at the moment, so if you've seen Pirates of the Caribbean 3, there's a moment where they sail off the edge of the earth, basically. And in that moment, the screen goes black and then it goes white. And there it's you then are shown Johnny Depp in a really stupid sequence. But when I first saw it, the screen went black and it never turned back on. And for the first, you know, 10 seconds, you're like, okay, we're just waiting for this.
Right.
This is part of the thing. Yeah. And then it just never, like, it just, they had a power surge or something. And the power had gone out briefly and they couldn't get it back on. It was like they would, I think the problem was they would have to start the movie over.
That
so
is
it was
weird.
A bust.
That's so weird because you'd think that they would be able just to fast forward to wherever they
apparently
were.
Apparently not. At least not in that situation.
Yeah.
So, I don't hold that against it. I am annoyed by much more insignificant thing. Like, if it's a little bit out of focus, that is so frustrating. Because it's something that may not get, you know, unless you go out and tell someone, you're going to sit there and watch an unfocused movie. Or if the sound is off. Or if the sound is not. So, prime example is when we saw Attack the Block at the worst theater in St. Louis.
I think you're actually serious about that.
I hate that theater.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Which is interesting. But this might get us back on the discussion.
It's an awful theater.
It's not an awful theater.
It's a piece of crap. It should be closed.
By your assessment, it is. By your assessment. But I am perfectly serviced by that theater.
It's awful. And this came into our discussion because you made this ridiculous comment about Ronnie's, and you're like, oh, I don't know where to go when I walk in there. Where are the theaters? And I'll concede it's not immediately evident at Ronnie's, but you can't make that argument and then talk about Chase Park Plaza as if it's totally clear where you're supposed to go. Because you walk into under a marquee, fair enough,
right?
Into what looks like a coat taking section of some ballroom.
It's a wing of a hotel. Yeah.
It
is.
So you
literally
go up to the coat
check
and you buy your movie ticket, which comes on a little receipt instead of an actual ticket. And then you're left to your own devices. Good luck finding the theater. They don't tell you where it is. There are no signs either.
You just ask the person at the
counter. Literally is, I don't know how you find the theater if you've never been there.
Well, you just wander and then you find it.
Stupid. So don't give me this like, I don't know where the theater is business about Ronnie's.
Fair enough.
Tell me about Chase
Park.
Fair enough. And then you get to this so-called theater, which has like a hallway for a lobby.
It has a lobby within a lobby, my friend.
And it's got what, 3 or 4 screens?
6.
6?
Yeah.
Where are the other? Where?
Right there.
I saw 3.
They're all lined up right next to each other.
Yeah, that's the problem. And then you go into a room that has about the same square footage as my kitchen. And you sit in seats that probably came with the building when it was first built 100 years ago. And
1927,
the biggest insult to anyone who likes movies is the joke of a sound system and projection that they have going there. Because we saw Attack the Block. You know, and good on them for showing Attack the Block.
Yeah.
Fair enough. They were the only ones showing it. Well, Ronnie showed it.
Right.
But...
I think I actually purposely steered us away from Ronnie's to see it.
Well, no, I think Ronnie's only showed the special
screening.
And I think when it was in release, I don't think it was anywhere else.
Oh, really?
I could be wrong.
All right.
So I got to give him credit.
Yeah.
But we might as well have not seen it there because the first 30 minutes were out of focus and the sound was all wrong. And it wasn't so much that the sound was bad, but they just didn't know how to either equalize or do the levels or what have you. And the soundtrack in that movie is important.
They didn't know how to equalize the levels in the movie.
I never profess to be an expert on audio, but I know when it's not right.
You know, you were comparing it to a previous screening. So
to a screening of Ronnie's.
This is not maybe the best case scenario for that particular theater. Because you were expecting something. Had you not already seen the movie and experienced a certain level of articulation in the sound, you wouldn't necessarily know that
I might have thought less of the movie.
All right.
Because the sound is very vital to that movie.
I agree. No, I'm not arguing against that, but I'm just saying.
You know,
this
is interesting because we recently, you and I, happened upon those projection notes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
These cards that get sent to projection. To the projectioners on how the movie is to be projected and
right.
these are sent by the makers of the movie so that it is displayed as intended. Mm-hmm. You know, and it makes a lot of sense, and I never thought about this, but that, you know, the maker of the movie has a very specific way that they'd like the movie to be seen, you know?
Some of them do, yeah. Not all of them.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah. Exactly.
Michael Bay's not paying too much attention to that.
Well, there's the loud.
Yeah.
Big and loud, please. But auteurs and you know, obsessives have a very particular way that they want the movie to be seen, or else it's not the movie they made, right? And it's funny how much they put in the hands of these projectioneers to make sure that the movie is viewed as such. And I would argue that Joe Cornish is an auteur, an obsessive as far as filmmaking goes.
Mm-hmm.
And he put a lot of care into how that movie plays with its score.
Mm-hmm.
And it is frustrating to me that this particular theater, whether by negligence or maliciousness,
like they planned it out from the get-go. Like the person who sold you the ticket, like, could see the look in your eye and like radioed to the concessioners and everybody else and was like, all right, we need to offend this guy. Yeah.
They did not deliver.
No, I understand. And that's why I said I feel like that was maybe not the best case scenario because, one, you had already seen the movie and you were expecting a certain level of delivery from the sound and the picture quality.
And the other thing was, and it's very specific to that situation, but there were people, and we were seeing it with other people, and they had not seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very excited for them to see the movie and be as into the movie as I was. And I was concerned that because of the quality of that theater, that it was not, did not deliver on the entertainment.
Mm.
And I don't know. I didn't ask after the movie if people got
But you had other problems with the theater too. Outright.
What were my other
unrelated
problems?
Unrelated to the screening itself.
What were my
you
other
were, You were offended by the clientele.
Yes. Keep going.
Yeah. You, I think, did not care for the concessions.
No, I didn't.
You griped about the concessions.
Yes.
I think you griped about the experience of going to the theater. Like
getting, yeah, like yeah, getting to
physically
it.
Physically getting yeah, to it, yeah.
what did I say about the clientele? I was annoyed because there were so many hotel patrons.
Right.
Wandering around.
In the lobby of the hotel. Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. And there was a bunch of noisemakers behind me in the theater. Like people talking.
Oh, okay.
That's at any theater.
Yeah.
People talk.
You run that risk.
That is annoying. Yeah. I won't claim that Chase is like alone in that.
And that is, I think, an X factor. Because sometimes having people talking behind you or just anywhere in the theater can go either way. Like I think it can be a bad thing or it can mm-hmm. be a positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen movies that were marginally saved by the audience.
Well, didn't I tell you? I think I told you before. I went and saw Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
At Ronnie's.
Yeah.
So Chase Park Plaza is a small theater in a hotel.
It is a historic theater.
I won't make fun of it right now.
A historic urban theater inside a hotel.
Yeah. Ronnie's is your standard cookie cutter. Huge multiplex.
Gigantic multiplex.
With a...
In a giant parking lot.
Crappy arcade in a giant parking lot with right. a stupid drive-in, fake drive-in thing. And, you know, huge, like, four different concession stands with different types of food. And
yeah.
Yeah.
It's and big.
It's the theater
it's a
that
big
all...
big experience.
It's huge. Yeah. And it's got an IMAX theater, 3D. It's got 20 screens.
Yeah.
Stadium seating. D-Box. Which is the dumbest thing I've...
Right, that's the motion seats.
Yeah, and seats now there's... now they're doing the Gold Star experience or something like that where you can get a waiter.
Oh, yeah, we need to talk about that too.
So I was at Ronnie's. So picture any theater you've ever been to. It's Ronnie's.
Yeah.
Now, modern any modern theater, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing remarkable about it. And I was seeing Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and in the back of this theater, there's this guy who as the movie's playing, I was getting a little worried, but in hindsight, it was really funny. Anytime an ape or animal would become aggressive, this guy would echo the sentiment, and he'd be like, yeah, get him. Oh, yeah. And he started making animal noises at one point too, and throughout the whole movie, and that was it was something.
Mm-hmm.
And that added to the experience.
Yeah.
When we talked originally, The Chase, I really don't like it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I make a lot of jokes, but I genuinely
don't enjoy
dislike
your time.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we also talked about High Point.
Yeah.
Which I have not been to. And I really, really want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave you a lot of flack for that place too, just because it's fun to
guilt by association.
Yeah. But it's fun to, you know, give you a hard time about things. I like the idea of it being a local institution, mm-hmm. you know, and I just wish they never seem to be showing the movie I want to see when I want to
see it. Which is, that's the limitation of having just one screen. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel bad. I feel genuinely guilty that I have not been to that theater, you know, for all I claim. about being a lover of film and mm-hmm. and movie theaters and local businesses. I am totally lame because I have not gone there yet, but I will go there. I will do it. All right. I don't want to incriminate myself any further.
I feel like, we might come back to this one because there's still a lot to talk about on this. But
for now, let's go to the movies. Put that it's in the archive.